you doing? That's a good question, isn't it? Actually, I probably, in normal time, wouldn't preach 1 Thessalonians 3 because it's kind of an interesting text. But if we're all here gathered together and celebrating God together, there are a lot of other things that we would talk about. But this seems to be very appropriate for how we're living these days. And it's really an important question for a pastor to ask people, how are you doing? And often, you know, we give that one word response, oh, I'm good, you know. And that's not what we're asking. How are you doing with your walk with God? How are you doing as you are experiencing maybe the stress and frustration of this current time? How are you doing? How is your prayer life? How is your scripture reading going? How do you feel, you know, especially for those that are at home and don't go out, how do you feel connected to the body? Does this really work, you know, this streaming thing? I got to say, for me, it doesn't work that well. It's not the same. And I thank God for those of you who show up and make it more effective as we worship God. First few weeks were really hard because we had a real skeleton crew, and it's been better since others have joined us. But this was a question that Paul wondered about the Thessalonians because he wasn't able to be with them. So that's what we're going to look at. He says, brothers, and this is actually in chapter 2, the last little paragraph. Brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. That was, you know, Paul wanted to be with people. He wrote letters, he you know, and we thank God that he wrote letters, right? Because that's a lot of our New Testament is Paul's letters. And we get a lot of good thinking and theology and understanding from what Paul gave him. But he also wanted to be with the church. He wanted to be physically present with them and spiritually present with them because there is a spirit, there is a power in believers gathered together. I was doing some writing, and one of the church fathers said that when the people of God gather together in a space over a period of time, that there is an actual spiritual power and presence that takes over that space. We call it holy space. The temple was a holy space and a gathering place. It's not the building itself, the structure itself. It doesn't create spiritual presence. It's the people of God that create that spiritual presence. So Paul wanted people to be together. He wanted to be with the church. He wrote the same thing to the Romans. He says, for I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. There's, you know, the idea of connecting with people in the sense of and asking sincerely, how are you doing? And you know, having a praise from God. I have a praise. You know, God did something for me this week. Or having a struggle. And can you pray for me? Because this is what's going on, right? And that's a very important part of church community. It's a living thing. It's not something, and that's why I'm not sure about the streaming idea, because I do believe it's a living thing. And Paul wanted to be present with the church, and he wasn't allowed to be present then. He said, certainly I, Paul, did again and again want to be with them, but Satan stopped us. Now, in Paul's experience, he went to Philippi, and then he went to Thessalonica, and there the Jews got very upset with him and basically made it so he had to leave the city. So he had to leave the city, went to Berea, the next little city, and the Jews from Thessalonica chased him down to Berea and made him leave and go to Athens, right? So you have this conflict that's going on, and Satan used those people to stop him from going back to Thessalonica, where he really wanted to be with the people there. And then he throws, you know, so he says basically Satan used those people who hated the gospel to stop him from going back to the church of Thessalonica. And then he says, this is so sweet. He says, for what is our hope and our joy, or the crown in which we will glory. And for church leaders, for Christian leaders, the joy and the hope is seen not in themselves, but in you. It's seen in you. How are you doing? How is God working in your life? And when we see God working in someone's life, it fills us with joy. It also gives us a real sense of the hope that God gives us, that is not, again, contained in just one little vessel, but it spreads out. And as God's people glory in God and worship God, that God moves and changes hearts and changes lives. It really is a living thing. And it is the glory which we all share on that great day when we stand together in the, you know, we were talking about the white throne judgment across the street, when all the saints are standing and the book of life is open and we find ourselves, we're in the book of life because we're living with Christ and we live with each other in Christ and we loved each other in Christ and we helped each other in Christ. There's glory in that sharing of life, that sharing of spiritual life in Christ. And so Paul, when he talks to them and he's separated, he says, basically, I'm separated from my hope, my joy, and that glory that I want to experience. And we do experience that when we're together in the presence of Jesus our Lord when he comes back. That's what we were just talking about. Indeed, you are our glory and joy. That's just an awesome thing. I don't know if you think of yourselves that way, you know, as part of a particular church or particular community. You are the joy and glory of that community. Every part is significant. Every part is a piece of that. So when I could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. And we sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ. One of the things I have learned during this little crisis that we're in is how awesome it is to have fellow laborers. Believe me, if I were standing up here by myself and trying to worship, almost like we did the first few weeks, it was so hard. It was so difficult because, again, the body of Christ is people. And you know, now to have, you know, worshipers and people that are helping to sing and praise, and you out there with us praying and what have you, it's like, you know, it is so valuable. Paul had Timothy. And Timothy was his great helper. He was his one true son in the faith. He called him in the books of Timothy. He was a trusted spiritual leader. Paul sent him to Ephesus to straighten them out, and he served God faithfully. And I can say that about our folks that are you know, coming to worship, coming to help, coming to, you know, and you know, we know we miss some of it because of the crisis that we're in, but it is so important. Every part is so important. And so he said he wanted to send Timothy, instead of him going, to strengthen and encourage you in faith. And I like that. That's the, again, that is two powerful words, to strengthen. And someone, I mentioned this before, someone asked, you know, how do you get fed? I get fed by doing this. I get fed by preaching the word of God. I get fed by worshiping with the saints. That's how I get fed. I mean, I study and prepare all week and get ready, but I get strength from the body of Christ. I don't get nearly the same amount of strength on my own, but I get it from the body of Christ. We work out all week, you know, praying, doing things, but when we get together, that's the real strength of our life. And Paul says, you know, I sent Timothy to help strengthen you and encourage you in your faith. One of the things, you know, I used to think that preaching the gospel was all about people getting saved, like just starting off. But it's more about just constantly reminding people, you got to believe in Jesus. You got to uphold the name of Jesus. You got to walk with Jesus, you know, to encourage us to keep going, to encourage us not to let the troubles of the world. So, and that's what he's saying. He said Timothy was encouraging and strengthening their faith because they might have been unsettled by the fact that Paul was being chased by the Jewish community and being persecuted. And you know, it could cause you to wonder, well, if you know, he's right, then how come he's in so much trouble? You know, why are people chasing him down? That kind of stuff. And he told him, he said, you know, I told you that we were destined for those kinds of trials, and we keep telling you that we would be persecuted. So Paul was talking about himself going through trials and that might be unsettling, and it might cause questions. And he said, I couldn't stand it anymore, so I sent to find out how you're doing. Again, that question, how's your faith? How is your walk with God? How are you upholding yourself in this time where people are telling us not to be with each other and to be isolated? How are you doing? How well are you holding that together? He said, I was concerned, and he said, I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. That's a sad comment. Paul was concerned that while he was sharing the gospel with these people only for a short time and then had to leave because he was basically being chased out. He said, I'm concerned that thoughts might be coming into your head. I'm concerned you might be having doubts about what we did. I'm concerned that you might be questioning things and that somehow the tempter, the evil one, who's got lots of people out there and lots of forces at work, right, might be trying to tell you that it's not real, that it's not true, that it's not right. And he was concerned about that. And that's why, you know, we talk about like the number of messages that are out in the world. People are streaming stuff, they're watching stuff all the time because what else are you gonna do? You're locked down, you know? Yeah. And so he's concerned. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about you. I'm not as much as people here because I can talk to you, but people who I haven't seen in 4 months, some I haven't heard from in all that time. Some have contacted me just a little bit, right? And I'm concerned. It's not the same as having people here because I know who's here, who's not here. If I saw someone not here for 4 months, I would probably try to find out what's going on. Where are you? What's going on in your life? So here's what I want you to do. And this is for the folks mainly at home, okay? I want you to give me a text sometime today or tomorrow, and I want you to answer the question, how are you doing? How are you doing? What's the number one prayer request in your life? What's the number one thing that is getting you down or disturbing you? What's the one praise you might have? How are you doing? Are you holding on to your faith? Are you walking with Jesus Christ? Are you as fervent in Christ as you always were? How are you doing? Are you actually listening to this thing? I see a little tiny camera in front of me. That's all I see. I don't see a face. I don't see your living rooms. I don't know who's watching, who's listening. The code names on the Twitch thing doesn't tell me anything. How are you doing? Let me know. Now, Timothy came back and he said, just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. And if you remember chapter 1, Paul said, I give thanks to God for you because of the works of faith and the labor of love. And he was just talking about how they had grown in Christ, and he knew that because Timothy came back and told him. He says, these guys are still on fire for God, they're still loving the Lord, and they're showing compassion to one another just as the Holy Spirit and grace and God wants them to do, and they're still walking in the name of Jesus. And the Jews might be giving them trouble, telling them to quit that, but they're not going to do it because they love Jesus, and they want Jesus to be shouted out from the rooftops. Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Jesus Christ is coming back. They are holding on to everything that Paul gave them. And Paul said, I thank God for you. He says, therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we are encouraged about you because of your faith. And this has been probably one of the most discouraging times of my ministry, 30-some years now, because I don't know how people are doing. I don't get to see how the church is doing. Because most of the church isn't here, and I don't see them, and I don't know, and I'm not getting good information. Some people have, by the way. There's some people, I appreciate those who do have, you know, they're not here, but they're texting me. They're asking me questions. They're telling me things that they're trying to do in their life spiritually. And you know, I praise God for every person that does that. Josiah's sister called, what kind of Bible should I buy someone, you know, and what translation? And we talked, you know, for a little bit on the phone about that. And that's good stuff, you know. People, they'll call me and say, oh, I know you're busy. No, I'm not that busy. I got a dog. Me and my dog spend more time than I do with you guys. And I don't like that. I'd rather be on the phone with you than on the phone with my dog. He doesn't talk much. He just barks. Yeah. For now, we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. And see, the thing is, and some of us know this, because we've had people come and testify to us that God's doing something in their life, right? And it just lifts you up. You say, God's at work. God's doing something. Praise God. When we don't see it, we don't know. And, you know, we need to see it. We need to know. How can we thank God for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of God because of you? So he gives a reason, you know. So what do? When you find out how people are doing, you praise God. You thank God. When someone's doing well, when someone is walking with God rightly, when someone is standing up for Jesus, you give God thanks for that. You praise God. It gives you a reason to worship. And when you're singing the songs that we sing, we think about that. We think about God doing wonderful things. And then he says, "And night and day we pray earnestly that we might see you again." Now that's something I have been praying for. I'm praying for the day when, you know, I quit shaving. You know, I got an ugly beard, and it's going to be ugly. You know why? It's my chrono beard, because I think chrono is ugly, all right? Now the day that we can have a congregational quorum here and take a vote that Pastor Brown can shave his beard off, that's when we'll shave the beard off, because I'm telling you, man, I'm praying for this stuff to go away. I'm praying for a vaccine or something, whatever it takes. I don't know what it takes. But I'm praying that we will be able to see each other again, that we will be able to celebrate the Lord in fullness, not just in part, but in fullness, the house of God alive with the Spirit. And I think we are doing better than we were, but I'm praying for that day to come. I'm praying for this nutty thing to be over. I'm praying for the name of Jesus to be lifted up and the whole body of Christ be encouraged in the presence of the body of Christ. And that's what Paul was kind of talking about, although he didn't know what coronavirus was. All right. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. Again, I'm praying. We should be praying. Are you praying? Are you praying? People at home. Are you praying? I'm serious. Are you praying? Are you praying that this thing comes to an end? Are you praying that God would bring his church back together? I pray for that every day. I pray for that. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. And I'm telling you this, is a thing. We've often talked about trying to practice Christianity in isolation. How do you fulfill that command? How do you fulfill that? He says, make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. I don't know how you do that. I know how I'm doing it. I'm out here. I'm trying to, you know, talk and be with people. And I don't, you know, God protect me. But I really want to be able to, in this crisis, still honor the word of God. Still obey the commands of Christ to love one another. If you can do it over a stream or something, God bless you. I can't. I can't. It's not to me. It's not the same. It's just not the same. But we still have to obey the word of God. We still have to obey the commands of Jesus Christ. This is my commandment, right? Love one another. We got to figure out how to do that. If you're at home and you don't want to go out, how do you do that? Just figure it out, but do it. One way is you're going to text your pastor and tell him how you're doing. If you haven't talked to me in 4 months, you know, tell me, right? All right. And then may he strengthen your hearts. This is that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father. Two things, love and strength. Two things that Paul's praying for the church. The strength of God, that we know the powers of Jesus Christ working in us, that we walk in this world in the name of Jesus, by the power of Jesus, under the authority of Jesus, and we live in the presence of God our Father. Now, I can experience that different ways. My favorite way is with you. My favorite way is in the body of Christ. My sailboat's been broke for a week, but the last time I took it out was the best day of sailing I'd ever had. I went miles, like 18 miles back and forth. And I got up on the bow of the boat and just started praising God, shouting. Nobody's out there. Nobody could hear me. I was just praising God and giving thanks to God. And it was a real sweet little spiritual experience. But it's nothing like being with the body of Christ and all of us lifting up our voices to the Lord and knowing that power. I pray that God will strengthen our hearts, that we will know Him, be in His presence, and be ready for the day that Jesus Christ comes. Be ready for that day. How are we going to do that? What, and this is my last question to you. What if Jesus came back this week? How would He find us? I don't mean how would He look, I mean how, what state are we in? How are we doing the things that Scripture asks us to do? How are we doing that? I know what I'm trying to do, and I'm not telling people what to do. I'm asking you to question, how am I doing this? How am I fulfilling the things that God wants me to do? That's a hard question when we're being told, don't do anything by the world. We have to be thoughtful about how to conduct ourselves as Christians in a broken world. Well, we're going to celebrate the Lord's death and resurrection through the body of Christ today. And we're going to celebrate communion. I think this is the fourth time that we've done this in this way. So what we're going to do is